Almost two decades ago, which sounds really strange to say, two decades ago, I had one of the most difficult patches of my life during my sophomore year in college. And I can see now in retrospect, though I didn't know it then, that I was depressed and anxious, maybe not in the clinical sense, but certainly in a very real sense, in a perhaps a mild version of it. I had the feeling that I couldn't do anything right, and I had zero energy or willpower to do anything. Nothing really seemed worthwhile. And moreover, I couldn't seem to do anything about this. I didn't have the energy even to try, really. Now, my period came and went. I know it doesn't for everyone. And for me, several things did ultimately help. I changed majors to something I was actually interested in and good at, which I say a little bit as a joke, but it's totally true, too. Time helped, too, in my case, though I know that's not true for everyone. And one friend of mine in particular made a really big difference, and I don't think she knew she did at the time, but she really did. So on my birthday, she gave me a gift, a card and a gift. I actually don't want to share what the gift was. It's nothing like crazy or anything. It's just, you know, I keep some things to myself, even though I share a lot here, right? But the real gift she gave me wasn't the card or the gift. It was her love and caring, right? And they were the things that really mattered to me in that time, and it was very clear to me that she did care. Now, this story comes up for me again at this time because it was a birthday gift she gave me, and my birthday was yesterday, actually. Thank you. I didn't do that just for that, but it's nice. I'll take it. But because those feelings come up again this time of year, the memories now. And this time of year, not just because it's my birthday, though I'm sure that's part of it, has always been special for me because of the season. We're talking about spring today. And I share, Jim's, we didn't actually even talk about this beforehand, but I'm also like, when does spring start here exactly? And I grew up in Texas, so it's not that different. I mean, we also don't have exactly the four traditional seasons. Kristen, if you ever want to get her talking about something, ask her about seasons. She's from the Mid-Atlantic. She misses her four seasons a lot. I didn't have that, but even in Texas, there's a lot more delineation between seasons than there are in the Bay Area. Because I remember a few weeks ago feeling it was 80 degrees, and now today I walked outside a few minutes ago and felt cold. Not cold, but cool, like, right? Like, just a little bit. So I don't know when spring started, but I assume by now on April 29th we're there somewhere, right? And if the flowers and weather, and I was hoping it would be sunny today, it looks like it is sunny again maybe, but we kept having cloud cover. If none of that convinced me that it must be springtime or the calendar, then my allergies certainly convince me of it. I'm losing my voice a little, hope I can get through the rest of the service. But moreover, I have the sneeze and cough, and I'm one of those incredibly loud sneezers. In my office, everyone along the row of offices says, "Bless you," whenever I sneeze, because it's that loud, even with the door closed. So I know that I'm just struggling through, and medication helps a little, but it doesn't do the job. And that whole, the lovely things about spring, everything growing, and the allergies, I just think that's a wonderful metaphor for these times we live in, this mixed blessing of spring. Because I do love this time of year, and my sinuses hate it. I see the world in bloom, and it's like a microcosm of the beauty and wonder of all life everywhere. And that comes with problems, too, because I love seeing the green in my yard, except that it seems like literally overnight it goes from this tall to taller than me. Please don't come by my house right now. I have weeding to do that you wouldn't believe. And I do it, and like a week later, it's there again. So I don't know. But I think spring is one of these good examples of everything in our world, in the universe, really, that nothing is purely good or bad, right? Things are too complex, frankly, and too interesting to have simple identities or meanings. We could name an infinite number of examples of these. Sunlight, which makes those plants grow and gives us vitamin D, which we need to live, and if you're out in it for too long, you get sunburn, right? I got a tiny bit yesterday just at my son's t-ball game. And in the extreme, in fact, it will dehydrate you and do awful things to you, kill you even. I was thinking, too, because this is the example that comes to mind for me all the time these days, of our federal government, which, don't get me started, but that's a great example of something that's super complex. It defies easy description, right? Our government really does some wonderful things, and I absolutely believe that's true, and some awful things, and frankly, the whole, like, 95% in between that's sort of mixed, right? It depends who you are. Depends how it's implemented, right, that it's sort of good and bad and all together, and mostly just bureaucratic, right? That's the best adjective. Now, I don't like taking this idea to the extreme, because I think the extreme of there's no good or bad, nothing purely good or bad, is to a complete moral relativism, in that is that we can't make any judgments about the worth of things. I reject that, too. The fact that things are complex doesn't mean that we can stop making judgments about what is best and working to make that a reality. It just means that things are complex. They might take some time. We have to figure them out, and we know we won't be perfect. We'll make mistakes, hopefully learn from those mistakes, and make different mistakes going forward, right? Because it's never easy navigating this world, but I feel like right now in this time and place, it seems harder. How do I hold pessimism and optimism at the same time? Because I have them. How do we hold on to hope? Bless you, by the way. Thank you. I'm louder than that. But how do we hold on to hope in the face of tragedy, right? Because it's there every day. How do we celebrate what we love and fight to change what we don't at the same time? Now, as a faith community, this is the sort of thing we wrestle with all the time, or I hope we do, as we're doing today in the sermon and in our lives. How do we hold competing emotions and competing ideals, competing visions of the world, and still remain some sense of integrity, of wholeness within ourselves? And not only just how do we do that as individuals, but how do we do that as a congregation of diverse people with many backgrounds and life situations? And then, moreover, how do we do that as larger communities? How do we do that as cities or as states or as countries or as humans? And so I go back to that time in my life that was difficult because I felt a spring of the soul, a new chance to try again, right? And when I think about spring, the season, and our metaphorical springs within ourselves, that's what I think of, a new lease on life and a new time to look out in the world and think, this is possible. I can do this. It's not going to be easy, and it's not comfortable a lot of the time. And a lot of things aren't possible, but there are things that are possible within them. So we have a chance once again to do the things we can do, to recognize the beauty around us, to embrace existence and the universe and all of that complexity and ambiguity, and still say, yes, I'm here to do this thing we call life. And so I love serving this church as minister for a lot of reasons. And number one by far among them is the people here, which is you. I don't know all of you nearly as well as I would like, but I know a lot of you, and I want to know the rest of you that well, too. I do. But even without that, what I do know is this. There's a beautiful and complex and hopeful and real spirit among us that gives me energy and tells me I'm in the right place and doing the right thing, or at least trying to do the right thing and failing and trying again. And maybe you felt the spirit, too. I think it kind of comes and goes, and it manifests in a lot of different ways and different times and places, but it's always here waiting for us. And there are other things I love too. I love the people I get to work with on our staff and in lay leadership. I like the communities that we move and live in and the people we partner with out in the wider world. I like the support I get from all of you in this work. I feel really supported. I hope you feel that kind of support too as a member. I like the really amazing place I get to live, both the Bay Area in general and our home in Pinole in particular. I like all the programs in this church that are doing 100 amazing things, some of which I barely even know about because they're being done by wonderful people with almost no input from me. And we could go on and on with this list. So I have all the optimism in the world for the future of this congregation. In fact, for the future of our world, for the future of humanity. And that's despite evidence to the contrary sometimes, but it's there. In fact, talking about the future of this congregation, I have all the optimism in the world, despite all the concern I hear from the wider world about the decline and death of church. And I know that the world is changing and church is changing. It won't be the same, but I have a lot of hope for the future. This congregation is changing too, and it will change in much greater ways in years to come, but we're not going away. And more importantly, the spirit that drew Kristen and I here, maybe the same one that drew you here, that brings life to this community and has changed but has stayed present for 127 years now, will be here again for all those years to come. I saw a little bit of it a weekend ago when our board met and developed new ends, and ends is a really jargony term for our system of church governance uses for goals. You might say instead goals. That is, things we're hoping to accomplish as a congregation and as individuals within the congregation in the next few years. Now, we'll reveal the ends to you in coming weeks, and I don't want to jump ahead of the thing here, because what I was really impressed with at our meeting was the joy with which our leaders embrace this task, and knowing how important it is as we face challenges and opportunities moving forward. Now, the ends should sound familiar to you because they come directly from the mission and vision work we've been doing all year long, and I'm confident you'll recognize that. What I drew from them, too, was that we have so much going for us in the congregation and each of our members. We have people who will support us in the hard times, who give us gifts of love and friendship so that we might again thrive, that we will have new springs of the soul. And we have people who will just plain have fun with us. Because the one end I will share with you right now is that we're a congregation that has fun. That's our goal. I think we're actually already there in a lot of ways, don't get me wrong. But we can live even more into that. It was important enough that our leaders really wanted to make sure that we are expanding our fun as a congregation. So it's a complex world with a lot to take in and process. You know, we have to resist evil, we have to work for change, we have to accept that we will fail sometimes, which is the one I'm still working on. And we have to work to celebrate and give thanks for all the joys we do have. So to that point, the most recent Star Wars movie, out for a few months now, had a line that stuck with me. If you've seen the movie, no doubt you noticed it too. It speaks to how we hold ourselves in the struggle to lead lives of integrity, of resistance, but also of love and joy. It's from a character named Rose, and she says, "That's how we're going to win. Not fighting what we hate, but saving what we love." Now, I really love that, and I want to say it's really a both and, right? You have to do both of them, actually. But yes, we can't lose sight of saving what we love. So we have to resist and save. And I think we can do both of those. So I leave you with this thought. Have a wonderful day. A wonderful spring whenever it began and whenever it ends. And take your allergy medication if you need it. Because I have about 30 seconds left of voice today, I think. So, amen.